Okay, so Gary went over 2, 1 through 13, was it? Did anybody have any questions on that section? Gary wanted me to kind of clear up if you had any questions on like how the Holy Spirit entered in the room. And it's pretty straightforward, but I do want to look at the last part where it said, so that in like 12 through 13, said, so they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking said, they are full of new wine. So what do these people think that, if you remember, who wasn't here last week? Let's go all the way through one again. No, I'm just kidding. Who was not? Who was not here? Okay, so you were gone. You were gone. Okay, so in first part of 2, it goes over where the Holy Spirit enters the room. They start speaking in tongues, the apostles. Okay? And then the people outside are listening, and these people are not from the area. This is the Pentecost. So the Pentecost was the time where Jews from all areas, different tongues, not necessarily speaking the same language, would gather there. So this huge mass amount of people showed up there, right? So the Holy Spirit comes in and gives the gift of tongues to the apostles, and each one of them starts saying tongues from different languages. And the people that are outside hear in their own native tongue, people that, Gentiles, that were not, you never spoke their language before. And they were perplexed, they were amazed that they were able to do this. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Those apostles were not out there preaching to those people outside. They were just uttering words, right? Given to them by God, by the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. So that happened. So get through your head, though, that they were not preaching to those thousands, three thousands of people that were outside. They were just uttering words and tongues that was given to them for the Holy Spirit. Now, if the people outside were getting something from it and being amazed that that's the power of God, that's awesome, right? God uses the Holy Spirit and you guys in all kinds of ways. But this was basically just prayer talk to God through their tongues. Okay? Does that make a little bit sense? Kind of briefly gets you through 2. Now we're to 14. So this is cool. This is the part where Peter steps in. Okay? Peter. Who is Peter? A friend of Jesus, right? He was with him through all those times. He had a little bit of a temper problem, cut off some guy's ear because he was going to, take his friend. But he was also, the first one to betray Jesus. So he was kind of like a coward in a way, too, right? So we look right here where now in 14 it says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. Okay, so in looser terms, Peter grew some guts, okay? And the Holy Spirit was working in him now, okay? So you got to understand the Holy Spirit is working in him and the 11, but Peter was the one that stood up and was starting to say, and to actually, in there it said that he raised his voice, right? So he was excited. Have you ever felt God use you in that way where it's like out of nowhere, you're like, I've got to say something? That's the Holy Spirit working in you, okay? It's like, I don't know where I got this from, but I got to talk to this person. Okay, so you stepped up. But it also says to heed his words. So he's asking for their attention, right? They all kind of have the attention because they were talking in the native tongues and they're like, oh, wow, what's going on here? Okay. So moving on into 15, it says, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. So remember back in 13, it said they were full of new wine. The people outside, some of them thought maybe they're drunk. And kind of Peter's, it seems funny to me, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. Like, nobody can be drunk at the third hour of the day, which is 9 o'clock in the morning. But I think that's kind of funny. In today's world, at 9 o'clock in the morning, people could be drunk. It was unheard of back then that you would be drunk with wine. In 1 Thessalonians, and we'll just jump up on the board so I don't have to. 1 Thessalonians 5, 7. Is that on? Oh, fail. That's going on your report card. Nope, too late. I got it. Nope. 5:7. For those who sleep, sleep at night. But those who get drunk at night. Okay, so, yes. So back then, people didn't get drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning. They got drunk at night. And it's not up there. It's fine. It's there? Okay. So, I mean, it just, going back then, you didn't get drunk in the morning. It was unheard of. I believe if you keep reading in there. You're not allowed to take naps, no. But let us who are of the day be sober, but putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet of the hope of salvation. If you keep reading on. In Isaiah, or Thessalonians 5:7. So, moving on, though. But this was what was spoken by Joel the prophet. So, he brings up that they're not drunk, and then he leads into a sermon, right? So, he got their attention. They're not drunk. They are sober. They were filled with the Spirit, right? And then moving on into 17, it says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men dream dreams. Okay? So basically, he was preaching of what Joel had said in his sermons. If you look at Isaiah 4:3 or 44:3, it says, for I will pour water on him who is thirsty, and the floods on the ground. I will pour my Spirit on your descendants and blessing of your offspring. Did I read the wrong one? No, that's right. So he's pouring the Spirit out on all flesh. That was prophesied back then in the book of Joel as well. And then going on, and my manservants and my maidservants I will pour my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. So who's the manservants and the maidservants, basically? If you're looking in today's world, the people that serve, we are to prophesy in a way. Okay, so if you look in 1 Corinthians 14:5, 1, or 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 5. Who wants to read that? No? Nobody likes to read? Okay. Prophesy.
For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. For one who understands them. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation.
Yep. So we are to prophesy. It's not downing tongues. Tongues were a spiritual gift given by God, okay? As long as there's an interpreter as well. So when they were speaking in tongues, in their native tongues, the people outside, they knew what they were saying because they were interpreting in their native tongues. But really, that what they were doing in their tongues was speaking to God anyways. They weren't speaking to others. That's what I was trying to get across in that one. But we're to prophesy, right? And there is lots of different spiritual gifts, and we can go over that in a different time because that will take up probably a couple different days and sermons. So I'm going to keep moving on. In 19, I will show you wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So that was the part of Peter's sermon. He could have ended it there, right? That was pretty good. That's powerful. He brought up the book of Joel. Could have stopped there. But would that tell of Jesus? Would that tell of his story? No. And that's not Peter. And that's not the Holy Spirit working in Peter. But what happens is amazing coming up. And then, so it says in 22, men of Israel, hear these words. Remember before he was saying that to heed his words, he's asking for their attention again, okay? Heed and hear, basically. Okay, so hear these words. Jesus Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by the miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst and yourselves also known. It's a weird division right there. Known him. It's a weird division where it cuts off. Anyways, so he's bringing up what right there? He's saying that a man of by God, attested by God, he did wonders, he did miracles, he did signs which God did through him in the midst, and they got to see this, right? So moving on. Being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. So he did these wonders, he did these signs, and now he's pointing out what? He's pointing out, look, guys, what did you do? He did these wonders, he did these signs, he did these miracles, and you put him to death. And then, so 24, it says, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. So Acts 4:10 says what? Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. Speaking of himself, he stood there whole because Jesus died for his sins. Okay? And then in 25, it says, for David says concerning him, and this is speaking in Psalms now, David wrote, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may be shaken, may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow my Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. I have a feeling David was prophesying in there, saying that he knew and God gave him a foreknowledge of what's to come in these times. So, in 29 it says, men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of David the patriarch, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. So what's he saying? David is dead and buried, right? He's still in his grave. He hasn't risen, but he is a prophet. He's a prophet. But he's still in a tomb. Moving on. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. So he was given the foreknowledge. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received the Father, the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. Sorry, I'm moving fast through this, but I'm so excited to get to this like one part of it. It's awesome. For David did not ascend into heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. He wasn't saying that to David. He was saying it, the Lord said to my Lord, God said to Jesus, sit at my right hand and I'll make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Ouch. So he's speaking to those people and he's saying, you guys did this, right? And we all did it. We still do it to this day. I mean, Jesus paid for our sins and it continues to pay for our sins. He's a living sacrifice, right? Did nothing wrong. Lived a perfect life. But we as sinners, we are. I mean, if you admit you're not a sinner, then you're wrong. You're a sinner. We as sinners put him there. And this should hurt us as much as it hurt these 3,000 that were out there. That whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they is who? They is the 3,000 people that are out there, right? That are listening. All right? So now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. They were divided. They were like, sliced open emotionally, eternally, not physically, but they were cut to the heart. It touched him. So the Holy Spirit working through Peter and his preaching and his sermon cut to the heart, and they got it. For the first time, they got this. The same can work with you guys. So when you have that feeling like God's calling you to talk to somebody, and you have this emotional, like, I don't know if I could do this, and God's all like, yes, you can. Don't listen to the I cannot do this, because that's the devil saying, no, don't do it, because he doesn't want you to. But listen to the Holy Spirit working in you, okay? He's going to guide your words. He's going to guide your steps. He's going to say through you what needs to be said. I mean, Peter wasn't the best at talking. He was an emotional wreck at sometimes. So they were cut to the heart. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles. So they're speaking to Peter and the rest of the apostles. Men and brethren, what shall we do? They're cut to the heart. They're like, they're ready to surrender. They say, what shall we do? Peter didn't give an altar call, did he? Did you hear in any part of that an altar call? That's like the best thing a pastor could ever do, right? There's people freely coming. You don't have to drag it out of them, but they freely came. So you could tell the Holy Spirit working through him in that. Then Peter said to them, and this is where that part of the altar call would come in. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is said to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Repent, spread the word, right? Well, repent, baptize, spread the word. Yeah? So, in the next verse, and we'll just read this so we'll get through it. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from the perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Can you imagine 3,000 people coming to be saved? Can you imagine baptizing 3,000 people? I was wondering how they were going to do that with just 11 apostles. 12 apostles, sorry. So, hopefully it wasn't in a pool, because that pool was going to get dirty. These people were not clean. Moving on. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had things in common. They sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. If you remember when Jesus started off, what did he tell the people to do? To sell their things? Especially that rich young ruler who would not? Because the rich young ruler, remember in that part in Matthew, it said what? He wanted to know how he could be more Christ-like. And Jesus said to sell your things and follow, right? And he couldn't do it. He walked away. So the true test is to see, would you sell your stuff for Jesus? Would you move on and follow him? It's a sacrifice. And I'm not saying that you guys have to sell your stuff, right? But internally, are you ready to follow him? Are you ready to accept Jesus? Are you ready to accept the Holy Spirit in your life and follow Jesus all day, all night, being sober, okay? I lost where I was. Near and far and every... then far came upon every soul. Then fear came upon every soul. Now all who believed were together and the things in common. They sold their possessions and goods and divided, yes, and need. So continuing daily with one accord, that means all together, in the temple and breaking bread from the house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, simple of heart. Praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Daily. So let's assume that, you know, Elena went out and spoke to somebody, right? Holy Spirit came upon that person. And then Elena goes to another person, and now that person, the first person that Elena saved, is now speaking to other people, bringing to God. It's adding to. So these 3,000 people now, they're speaking of Jesus, right? And adding to the church. And to not just church, but to bring them to God. So that's what we're here for. We're here to bring people, not just ourselves, because we are supposed to work on ourselves daily and be involved in the Word. It's like if you were across the street today, Buzz was talking about, but to bring others towards Christ. Not for our own desire, not for our own good. We don't gain levels of heaven by bringing people to God. There's a church out there that does that and believes in that. We don't. Our main desire is internally us, a relationship with God, and bringing others to Christ. But it doesn't gain us any favor other than God's favor. It doesn't gain us any spiritual ladder or different heaven. We're all going to the same heaven. Some may be patting the flames out as they come through. We all go to the same heaven. So with that, let's go ahead and wrap this up. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word, for your blessing, for your spiritual gifts. Lord, you've given each one of us something different. And Lord, we appreciate those. Lord, speak to us. Lord, if we are lost and we don't know our spiritual gift, Lord, maybe you haven't spoken to us and we're not, and the Holy Spirit's not in us yet. Lord, continue speaking to our hearts, and Lord, may our desire is you first, and Lord, help us to bring others to you. We thank you for your presence in our daily walk. Lord, guide us through your steps and direct our thoughts and our minds. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.